I'd like to start off tonight by just rehearsing some of the accounts of the Lord's life while he was here on this earth. Jesus came to a place in his earthly ministry, and he knew that he was about to face his darkest hour. And he went to the garden. He went there to pray. The pending circumstances that was in his life, I think he felt a great need of the comfort of God. And he went there and prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Seeing that what he had to do was going to be a very awesome and terrible thing to have to face. He knew he was going to the cross. And the cross means a lot of things today to a lot of people. It's made into golden emblems. And it's made into, back home there's a man that had a burden and put him on the hills around there and in the clearings. And but in Jesus' day, there wasn't no such thoughts. Jesus' day, it was an emblem of horror.
Yes.
It was the worst of suffering. It's what you would be horrified at. There's a lot of ways to die, and most all of them bad. But this was especially bad. It was a deliberate bad. Men that put this on other men, and it was horrifying. And Jesus knew that he was facing that. He actually faced the idea of death ever since he was born. If you remember, Herod had was out for his life from the time he was born. But God had a purpose for him, and it was impossible that anything could happen to him.
Yes.
He was in the hands of God. He was in that place of protection. It was impossible that man could touch him. And in his ministry, many times they sought to get him. They was after him. They wanted to destroy him. But he, in the way God is, he vanished. He walked right through them. I imagine there's so much that's not told. I imagine when they gnashed their teeth on him at times and wanted to destroy him, they just couldn't. They just plain couldn't. They couldn't bring their minds even. They just hated him. They wanted rid of him. But God had something in it all the time. And I don't think Jesus ever really concerned or worried about those places. He knew the fulfillment of his ministry and working. But there come a time that now, I'm not going to walk through this one.
Yes.
There won't be the Spirit of the Lord to divert men's thinking away from it. No, I'm about to come up to it. And he realized that. The cross was a horror to him. So it was the men that of that day, it was an awful thing. But Jesus went to the garden and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And if you'll remember, he came back and he went to his disciples and they was asleep. And Jesus said, "Oh, can't you wait with me? Can't you watch with me?" It wasn't enough, was it? He went again. And he said, "Not my will." He prayed to the Lord, to the Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done. If it's possible, take the horror away. If it's possible, but not my will, but thy will be done." Three times he did that. And that third time, God done something.
Yes.
There was something that happened that I believe in the Lord's life right there. that was ministered to him that he didn't have to go there again. Mm-hmm. Now he could face the cross. Jesus went on and suffered many things. He gave himself into the hands of sinners.
Yes.
To do their will. He gave himself to it. Humbled himself and gave himself to that plan that was from above. That plan that he came into the world for. Things are fulfilled now, and now it's time, and he gave himself to it. Willingly, he stepped right onto it, and they took the very Son of Glory, the Son of God, the Prince of Glory. Brother Carl, they took him, and they mistreated him. And no one could lay charge to anything that he'd ever done to anybody that was evil or bad. Had a whole host of witnesses around that could say that he fed us. He healed us. He made us whole. He done all manner of good to all manner of men. And yet they took him and mistreated him. They told lies about him. They slapped him. They spat upon him. They stripped him off, and no modesty's allowed here. They stripped him off and laid the lashes to him.
That's right.
They made fun of him and took a crown because he had said, "I am the king."
Yes.
They took a crown and placed it on his head. And I imagine he pushed it down good and tight. You want to be king? Be king, will give you a crown to wear. They mistreated him. And I want us to realize something. At any of this time, he could have called those legions of angels.
Yes.
But he willingly walked right onto it. He willingly took it up. Jesus, one scripture says, and him bearing his cross, he went up. We heard in Sunday school Sunday, I believe it was, that he was crucified without the gate. Outside the city, he was made the offscouring. He was made the trash, the filth, the dirtiness of where they put all of that. That's what they made him to be. They put him outside as a common thief or criminal. No royalty, no honor, no dignity.
Yeah.
They stole it. They took it from him. They took it, but he gave it. He allowed himself to be done that way. And then to think of this, they took the Lord, stretched him out on that old rugged cross. Have you ever thought what it must have felt like? Those nails going through the flesh, the tendons, the bones of a hand. You ever felt like what the guy driving the hammer must have felt in the crushing of it? It's a true story. I wonder how many men it took to hold his hands down there. I don't think it took any. I think when it come to time, he put his hands over. I don't think they had to pin it down. I think they grabbed it and put it there. I think he felt the pain of the nails going through, don't you?
Yes.
I think he knew what it was going to be. And he had prayed, "Lord, not my will, but thy will. And this is part of it, and I accept it." And he walked to it. They pinned him down to that old thing. And again, modesty's not allowed. They wasn't being modest. They took him and pinned him down. My understanding is they drove nails through his hands and through his feet with knees slightly bent. And then there was holes already there, and they took this cross. A few big men probably took the cross and hoisted him up into the air and then dropped the cross into the hole. Can you imagine what that must have felt like when that thing hit the bottom of that hole, the jar of it. You die from suffocation on a cross. You hang there, your body withers, and you pull up to try to get each breath. Every pull's against the flesh that you're pinned down with. And every breath becomes agonizing, and you have to push up against it to breathe, or you suffocate. And the horror of suffocating, you ever think about suffocating? Anybody in your ever had breathing problems or see somebody have breathing problems, and the exertion that they have to try to get the next breath that they have? Well, many of us knew, Brother Brother Dan's dad went through that a lot, didn't he? And the horror of being able not to breathe. That was a part of that that he walked to. And he walked up to it and gave himself to it. We've been talking about a scripture in Hebrews 6. I am persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation. I want to talk about something that accompanies salvation tonight. It's cross.
Yes.
We've been talking about the things that just a Christian, a child of God, will automatically have as a part of their life. There is duty, there is responsibility, there is blessings, there is the promises of God, and there is a cross. Jesus showed us how to be successful with it. But every one of us here that named the name of Christ, we have a cross. And it is made for you, and it is so necessary for you. And I want to look at a scripture. It's in Matthew, the 16th chapter. 16 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Not somebody else's.
Yes.
Makes it personal. Let him take up his responsibility, his course of life, the place that God gives to every person. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Come after me with that cross. There is some that says, I have heard it. I don't think anybody here has been deceived by it. But there are some that says you put enough money in the mailbox or you get a certain place with the Lord, you're trouble free. I don't read the scriptures that way. They that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions.
Yes.
Every one of us have a cross that we need to pick up and bear. And as one minister said, it is not to show off. It's to die on.
Right.
A cross is to die on. The cross in Jesus' day was the symbol of death. It was the symbol of humiliating death. It became the symbol that everybody understood of self-denial. That you deny yourself. In order to follow the Lord, you need a cross. Because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be opportunity after endless opportunities that the only way to make it positively through that trial, that place, is to have a cross to die on. Because it will be in our lives from start to finish serving the Lord. It accompanies salvation. There is for everyone a cross. One of the old songs, I think Linda found it there in the blue book for me, but I think it said something to the effect, there is a cross for everyone. And there is a cross for me. There's one for you. And there's one for me. To die on. To come to that place in our lives and say, I need to die.
Yes.
to old Marty. Do you know Jesus showed us, gave us an example of dying on a cross? He showed us how to die on that cross. There'll be times that the events and the things in life might be too big for you. And you might look at it and say, I cannot do it. And Jesus looked at his, that he was coming up to, and he said, I'm going to need more. I'm going to need something. Father, I've come to my darkest hour. Yes. You ever come to those dark hours? You ever come to the place that you didn't know what you were going to do next? What do you do? I have been inspired by the life of God's people down through the ages, of men and women of God that embraced their cross. Took that cross and said, you know, whatever my course in life is, I'm going to be faithful. Amen. There was one of our writers, and y'all have mercy on me there, but don't get every fact just right, but C.W. Naylor wrote a lot of spiritual things. I'm not sure he wrote any songs, but he wrote a lot of good things, understood things, and was blessed. My understanding is they had a tent pole fall on him.
Yeah.
And he was paraplegic. Couldn't do the tent for himself. Outworking in the work of the Lord. Outworking in the work of the Lord. Why, if you're out there dedicated working for the Lord, the Lord ought to protect you and everything, and you ought to just breeze through and every prayer answered, right? That's fairy tales, folks. That's the end of those things, says, and they live happily ever after. We got some promises about living happily ever after, but I want to tell you, in this life that we live, there's a cross for every one of us to bear. C.W. Naylor no doubt wrestled with his, and I think he wrote about some of the wrestles that he had with that idea. He was paralyzed and going to be for the rest of his life, and he wasn't that old of a man, and it changes the whole world around him. And what are you going to do with that? How are you going to be successful with something like that? Wouldn't be hard to be bitter. Wouldn't be hard to blame God for it. Wouldn't be hard to get down in the dumps of despair. Wouldn't be hard to do that. But he accepted his cross. There came a time that he said, Lord, help me to be all that I can be laying here. Help me to do something for God right here in the middle of it. And I tell you, that was quite a cross to have to bear in life. And he took that and he bore that. There was a songwriter of years past named Fanny Crosby.
Yes.
She was blind. I think she was blind from a baby, wasn't she?
Yes.
You could say, I'm useless, I'm worthless. Nothing can come out of my life at all. Don't know what I'd do if I couldn't see. But she bore a cross.
Yes.
She took her cross and was able to go on and bless many, many generations of spiritual songs and was able to be successful in the Lord. I've looked at situations before. Some of you know her. I don't like to really mention names a lot, but I think of Amy Gentry quite often. Because for those that don't know it, she lives her life in a wheelchair. She, from a baby, she had, what's the disease? Huh? Oh, spinal bifida. And she couldn't walk. She couldn't use her legs in a wheelchair. She had braces for a while. I remember seeing a picture. She couldn't use herself. I've loved to run in my life. When I was a child, I was so active. I climb, I run, I play. I've done all these things in my life. And I look at that and it's so valuable and was precious to me. And I look at her. She's never done it. She's never had a normal life. Folks, you only get one. You ever think about it? You don't get two. You get one life, and you're born into this life with something that makes you different than the people that are different from all those things. Can't do it. I only got one life and I'll never have the joy. I'll never have the joy of running, of climbing. I'll never have the joy of being able to see a child of my own. I'll never hold my own child in my arm. I'll never. You don't think those things long in people like that heart? There is a cross for everyone. And there is a cross for me. When I get to looking at sometimes at the cross that the Lord gives me, and then I start looking at other people's crosses, my cross don't seem very big. But I wanted us to understand something today. The Lord gave me the burden of it. This will follow and accompany salvation. Is the cross that we have to bear in life. And I feel like that there's times that we are so shoddy, so wanting rid of every little thing that happens, so unwilling to really embrace it, really allow it to work in our lives. I want to tell you something. It was the cross of Christ that saves us. It was because He went to that cross that we have what we have. It's because of the cross that God puts in our life many times that touches the people that are around us. It don't take much to live in sunshine. It don't take anything to be blessed all the time and have everything that you want. It don't take much to live that kind of life, but it takes a lot to show what it means to have God in your life, that you're able to embrace the difficulties, to be able to embrace the hard things of life, to be able to say, God, my God is big enough. My God can get me through this trouble. My God's big enough to help me in this. My God can give me grace in this situation. Big enough to believe and have faith that God, no matter what He brings into our life, is a big enough God to get me to the other side of it. I can embrace it. And Jesus made it to His disciples as a must. As a must. If any man will come after me, first of all, there has to be the desire to go after the Lord. This is one of the steps of this. If any man will, wants to, desires to, that's the first step. And once that happens, I hope we all here will. I hope we want to have the desire. I want to follow the Lord. But how do I do it? What I do to follow the Lord? I want to follow Him. What do I have to do if any man will follow me? This is what He has to do. It follows. It's accompanied the salvation. You have to deny yourself. Well, I want to be something. Forget it. I want to do such and such. Forget it. I want to have my own life. I want, as we heard, I want to do it my way. It won't work. If you want to follow the Lord, deny yourself. Yes. Deny it on every hand. And I know I've told this story before, but it was real to me. Years ago, when my first wife was sick, before she passed away, we was coming back from Virginia, and it had been very tiresome, and she was tired, I was tired. We really wanted to go home. We just wanted to go home. And it was going along, and I looked up ahead of us, and there was a vehicle pulled off beside the road. And I felt inspired. I felt something in my soul. I felt something about it. It wasn't just, I seen many cars pulled beside the road, but this one, there was something to this. The Lord was doing something. And as I drove up by, I was very attentive. I seen that there was a young woman out there by herself by a car that was overheated. And I mentioned it to my wife, and we backed up. And I got out and I asked this young girl, I said, can I help you in any way? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, I don't have any tools and I'm not much of a mechanic, but if there's some way I can help you, I can at least look. And look, I'd help you if I can. And she said, I don't know. So I went ahead and looked and I said, oh, well, it looks like that you have one of your hoses is busted. And I said, that's what looks like happened. And I said, it looks like if I had the right stuff, it wouldn't be hard to fix, because it's just split down so far from where it hooks on. We could cut it off. I think you'd have room to put it back on, and you could be on your way. And it was that, is you want to do that? And she says, I don't know. She shrugs. I don't know. And I said, well, why don't we go and we'll go and go to the next exit and try to find something, and it needed some pliers and a screwdriver. I didn't have anything on me and something to cut it with. And so we get off the exit. She goes with us, and we drive and get off at this exit and comes up to this store, and she wasn't going to go get the stuff. She was just, and I said, well, I didn't need a screwdriver and pliers. I had them, just not with me. But I went in and bought these and come back out and took it back up, and we got water and everything and the whole deal. And we done that little deal we had to do. And I said, well, this might get you going again. And she started the car back up again. And it was her water pump that went bad. I couldn't tell it until that point, but found out that it was the water pump bad. And I told her, I said, it looks like what caused you overheat to start with is the water pump. And I can't do nothing about a water pump, but I don't want to leave you stranded out here. So what do you want to do? And she says, I don't know. So I pursued it farther and said, well, my experience is all the water ain't going to run out at once. And usually when they're running, it ain't as bad as when they stop. So you'll probably be all right if you follow me over to the next exit. We can find someplace, maybe a mechanic or something to get you. Do you want to do that? She was like, so I got her. Well, that's the best plan. So she got in. She followed. She did actually say, you won't run off from me, will you? And I said, no, I'll run off from you. Follow me. So we followed, and I was actually able to find a garage. And when we get to the garage, I'm like, we were tired. The only thing that I had in my mind was going home. Needed to go home. My wife's sick, tired, I'm tired. And here we are running around out in the country doing this. And I went to the garage and I said, okay, this is going to do. And she looked at me so pitifully. And I said, do you want me to go talk to the mechanic? And she said, would you? And I said, yeah, I'll go talk. And I told him everything. And I come back and I said to this young girl, I said, do you have any money? And she said, yeah, I think I can take care of it. And I said, all right, well, that's all that I can do. This took about 2 hours. And I ended up saying, well, that's all that I can do. And so I hope things go well for you. And I was leaving, and she, with tears in her eyes, she said, thank you so much. I got back in the car and I was driving home, and the Lord started dealing with me about that scene. And the Lord showed me, without sacrifice, you never really help anybody. You never really help anybody if you're not willing to deny yourself. If you're not willing to have that old cross there, you'll never really help anybody. And you know what the Lord also helped me to see? That humanity, when it comes to God's things, is like that young girl. I don't know. I don't know how to help myself. I don't know how to see things right. I don't know how to be moved to right things or to do things right. That what they see of life and that around them is all that they know that's right. Many, many times that's all that's known to right. And what really touches people's lives is when somebody denies themselves. When they denies themselves for them, you want to follow me? Jesus said, you deny yourself. And you pick up your cross. And you come after me. You follow along with me with that idea of denying yourself. And oh, you'll see what will happen then. There is no possible way that you could say, I'm saved and living for the Lord, without being willing to deny yourself.
Yes.
Because it is as much a part of serving God as any part can be of denying yourself. And you think of others that have went before. Brother Sammons was a good example to us. Brother Sammons denied himself. In his life, he denied himself to minister to other people. He told us the story one time of being there at home, being out traveling, ministering in there, and he got home and somebody called him from a far off place and said, "Brother Sammons, I'm sick. I'm about to die. Oh, would you come and pray for me? And this is states away. Would you come and pray for me?" You know what Brother Sammons did? He went and got in his car. Got his few things and went and got in his car. And he told me when he got in the car, he said, "I knew when I got in the car that I was sicker than they were." He got in the car and took off, and he said he told the Lord as he was driving along, "Lord, I'm really going to need you to help me, or I'm not going to be able to make it to go up there and do it." And the Lord healed him as he went, and he was able to go and pray and deal with them and take care of that. He denied himself. He denied himself for the cause of God. You want to live for the Lord? There is a great big denial of self there that every one of us have to face in life. And when we look around and see the things that come into our life, and many times we'll shun it. We'll say it ain't, "I'm not going that way. I'm not going to do that." And right there is what God has built to show.
Yes.
Jesus, the brightest. The best place to show the Lord is right there in that place of self-denial that the Lord wants to perform in us. Allow us to get, "Lord, I'll give this to you. I'll die there on this cross. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to respond to this. I can die here on my cross. I can be quiet. I don't have to have my part. I can go through this." And all at the same time, there's somebody there looking, watching, looking to see, how does a saint do it? How's this going to happen? Oh, there's crosses to face. There's times we feel this inward thing. But I want to tell you, there is a cross for everyone. And there is a cross for me. Brother Danny Gellenbeck, we know him. And again, I don't like to use names, but this impressed me. Brother Danny has done these jobs where he sent these men, all this fixtures and stuff that he built. He sent it on in these trailers to far off places. And it's pretty tedious because any movement in those things can cause damage. So you have to secure them and do all this. And he had this big job and it was pressing and had men there and he was there and his, all of his fixtures comes in and, but get the story right, they come in and when he opened them up, the things that they had in there to hold them didn't hold them. And the whole thing is just destroyed. Thousands of dollars worth of material and work that it took to do it. Skilled labor that it took to do it. And there it is. And there he is. And there's the situation. And there's a man standing there watching this situation, watching him. Because he's proclaimed something. He said something. His life stands for something. He says, I have salvation. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. See, his life says that. And this guy's watching on. When he seen all that, he said, "All right. Well, it looks like we're going to have to do it over." You know, this man come to him and said to him, "I was watching you. I wanted to see if you're who you say you are."
Yes.
There is a cross for everyone. And there is a cross for me. Jesus was approached by a young man one time. And he said to the Lord, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. And that is God." Now what Jesus was referring to there is, as he was taking it back on that guy of what he actually had just said. Oh, this is my understanding on it. He wasn't denying that he was good. He was pointing out that he was God. He was actually saying, "You said it. There's only one good, and that is God." And he said to him, keep the commandments. And the young man said, I've done it since a youth. I've done it all my life. What do I lack? And the one scripture says, and Jesus loved him.
Yes.
Jesus loved him. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. There was in this young man's life things, issues, places, things like that. He was a wealthy man. The Bible doesn't say he was named John, Joe, or anything else. This man's title was, he was a young ruler. He was a rich young ruler. He was a rich ruler. That was what his entitlement was. That's who he was. Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. Because you're going to need one. Because all along the way of Christian life is self-denial. It is the time that you'll have to give yourself to it or it's not going to work. And every time that I take up my own way, my own thoughts, I'm going to tell you, my Christian life, as well as yours, there has been many things happen in it that I wouldn't have chose in my life, no way, no how. There is no way that I would have chose as a young man with a young wife, with young children, to have her get a disease that took her life. There is no way that I'd have done that. And when I face that, I just want to share with you the emotions and the things that can happen in that kind of a place.
Yes.
I was living for God. We were traveling around. I felt so blessed. I said at one point to her, I looked across to her and said, how could life possibly be any better than it is now?
Yes.
Little did I know that the very seed had already started growing in her body that would take her life. And in a very short time, my whole life had upended. And I was like, I'm living for God. This happened when you're living for God? And there was emotions and feelings and things. And there was at one point I told somebody and they let me say it. I said, I know it's not right. But I feel like if God takes her, He's wrong. How can it be right? My children are too little. They're too young. It's just out of what God would do in a situation like this. There is a cross for everyone. And there's one for me. But I've seen God. I've seen God like I'd never seen God. I've seen God work with people like I never seen God work with them before. My wife dying with cancer made some soup for the neighbor and took it to the neighbor woman and she stood there and bawled. Said, I ought to be making you soup. Because it was something special. That somebody like that would do that. It was special. It meant something. And I saw God work with me through it, through those kind of things. But I did. I had emotions that felt like, well, if God, if you do it, you'd have to. I feel like you'd be wrong. No, you're never wrong, but I feel it. I feel like it is. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. And I've told it many times, but I got to the place in my life till I actually told the Lord. I was standing in my living room just like this. And I told the Lord, Lord, I'm at the end. I'm at the end. I have no emotional strength left. My nerves are gone. I'm through. I'm at my wit's end. I ain't quitting serving God, but I'm through. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to respond. You know what? The Lord just opened up heaven on me. I needed grace. I needed help with the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. I trust that she made it to heaven, the ultimate goal of every one of us. I trust that God worked in our lives for the betterment of our lives. I trust that my cross was tailor-made for me. That was my cross. See, that was my place. A couple years ago now, I had an incident. Some of you know about it. I serve in the Lord. And God protects people. He does. I appreciate how God does things. But a couple years ago, I faced something that I never really thought that I'd have to face. I had a guy so mad at me, it was like Satan himself was in him. Well, it was because Satan himself was in him. And he responded like Satan was in him, and he come at me with that. And my whole desire was to do what I had always done that always worked. I just humbled myself. And God always have blessed it. And people calmed down, but he didn't. And he got a gun. I don't know what kind it was, but I know it had a big barrel on it. And he put it up to my head and cocked it. And said, I'm going to blow your brains out. And there I was. With my cross. With my cross. He pulled it back. It was a rifle of some kind. He pulled it back and slammed me in the head with it. Knocked me over in the seat of my truck. Left a big round spot on the side of my head. Violent. Violating. Yes. Defiling. And I was serving God. And it happened right there to me, right there at that time. Then he put his gun up and come over and started just wailing away at me, hit me with his fist. Hit me on the head. Hit me on the hand. He was mad. Do you know I left there? The last words I said to him was, I'll still make it better if I can. He was enraged. But you know, the Lord had protected me there. Amen. By the next day, there was hardly a bruise, a spot, or anything that you could have told hardly on me at all. Nothing harmed. The Lord protected me. But he allowed me to go through something that I want to tell you here today that challenged every bit of my sanctification. It challenged every bit of my experience with the Lord. I praise the Lord for the protection that I was alive. I praise the Lord for what he done. But at times in the middle of long nights of driving, and at times there would be an insinuation or an idea that he'd done you wrong and you ought to do something about it. You have a right to not like him. You have a right to do that, and feelings, and you think it'd be otherwise? There's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. But you know what I saw through that cross? I saw people around me that did not. God started working in the community. And people started testifying for me and of me and defending me that I never thought of. God had a purpose and a reason. And the story went throughout the place of what happened. One of the things that the guy said, of course, I moved there, and he was originally from there, and one of the things that he promised me, that he was going to run me out of the community. He promised me that. I'm going to run you out of here. I stand stronger in the community today than I ever did before. But there is a cross for every one of us. And what this really says is that what we say to the Lord, I will accept the path that you choose in life for me. Jesus knew his hour of his cross. We don't always. But we've got to come to the place that we say, Lord, I will accept the course that you put into my life. I will accept with grace, blindness, being paralyzed. I will accept early deaths. I will accept the when people I have unfavor with people. I will accept, Lord, and be faithful to you, though nobody likes me. I will, Lord, follow that course when all the pressure's against me. I'm going to accept the course that you've put in my life. I accept that you made me what I am and how I am. Lord, I accept it that I'm this way. I'm not talking about sinful. I'm not talking about who I'm made to be and what my callings are and what it is for me. My cross. My cross is in life. I accept it. I pick up my cross, Lord. It's a good place to be. It's a wonderful place to be, because after Christ died on the cross, it changed the idea of what a cross is. It really did. He taught us how to do it, but it changes the idea of the cross. Never before Christ was there any glory to a cross. It was for murderers and thieves and slaves and people that was no account. But after our Savior died on one, it became the emblem, sure, of suffering and shame. But the end of it is glory.
Amen.
The end of the cross is glorious for every one of us. And there's one for us. And I'm going to tell you, the end of our cross is glorious too. The end of it is faithfulness. The end of it is God's approval upon our life. It's God's choice for our life to allow this into our life. And I know we go through it. And I know we don't like it. And it's right that we pray against it. And we fight against it. But I'm going to tell you, we have a cross, every one of us. We all have that weakness or that place or that, you know we do. I accept mine, Lord.
Amen.
Give me grace to have my cross with me, to be able to deny myself when it comes up to denying it. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's been a struggle for me to do those things. I've had to backtrack a little bit sometimes and go back and say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't handle that like I should have. I did not bear my cross. Years ago, I was working on the job. And the boss had made me some promises. And I felt like he had broke them. And we had a conversation. And I really just told him how it was. I did not lie to him. I told him the heart of the employees. I told him the things that he was doing. And I told it just about as well as you could word it, or I could word it. I worded it and done it. And it was nothing but the flesh. Oh, I tried to say it was all kind of other things. But it wasn't. And there come a time that I faced the boss again, and we had to discuss it, and so when I went into the office, he called me in, and we sat there, and he told me, what you told me hurt me. And I said, yeah, I know it did. And he went on to say a few things, and I told him, I said, I just want to tell you, I want you to forgive me. I did not act like the Lord. I was not godly when I done that, and I was wrong. I did not take my cross. I did not want to die on that thing. My flesh recoiled. I would not die on it. It was there for me to die on. I could have denied myself. Right there was a perfect opportunity to deny myself. And I didn't do it. And it caused great harm. And there is a cross for everyone. There is times right in your immediate family that you should pull that cross up.
Yes.
Put it down in its hole and die on it.
Yes.
There is times that you need to put the cross right there at your mouth.
Yes.
And die out to the words that wants to be said. They don't need to be said.
That's right.
Die to it. This is something that is so, the word accompanied salvation there in Hebrews meant to stick to it. Cling. This clings to salvation. To every blood-washed one, this sticks to it. It's self-denial. It is a willingness to deny myself for the betterment of the kingdom of God. And I believe when we do that, that rich young ruler was told that, and he went away sorrowful. I think that if he ever made it to heaven, he'd done what the Lord told him to. He had to take up that cross. And I wanted to just elaborate just a little bit more on this. The end of the cross now is not shame. After Jesus died on it, it made it something different. It made it something different. I want to look at the words of a song. Psalm 171 in our book. The title of it is The Cross. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. Precious? How do you view it? You view it as precious? It's a tool. It's an implement. It'll bring great peace in your life. It's what we need. Yeah, the flesh recoils, but the soul rejoices. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. 'Twas there I counted all but loss. 'Twas there I gave my heart to God. 'Twas there he washed me in his blood and spake the words, thy sins forgiven, and filled my soul with peace from heaven. Oh, the cross, the precious cross, the only way for sinners lost, the only way that we can gain an entrance to this heavenly plain. 'Twas there my night was turned to day. 'Twas there I found the heavenly way. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. 'Twas there I counted well the cost. 'Twas there my soul was sanctified. 'Tis there I ever will abide. 'Tis there we find the purest gold and joys that never can be told. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. To me this world is naught but dross. Far richer treasures now I own, while up the shining way I run, when in that heavenly land I'll see the one who bore the cross for me. You can't bear his cross for him. He already done it. He already made the sacrifices and we're partakers of it. But he said to these people, if you want to follow me, you deny yourself and you take up your cross. Let every man take up his cross. And I really like the words of this last verse of this song. To me this world is naught but dross. Far richer treasures now I own, while up the shining way I run. I'm going to tell you that's part of the cross. It's a part of the cross. It's the glory of the cross. Far richer treasures now I own. When I sacrifice myself a little time, a little giving, when I deny what the flesh wants to do, when I deny that, far richer treasures now I own. I own something that's eternally valuable. It's something that's going to add value to my life, to the life of those around me. This world is a selfish, self-centered world.
Yes.
And it doesn't belong to the people of God. The people of God aren't that way. A self-denying, loving people, a giving people. A people would do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to get that treasure that the Lord's promised. Oh, I'm going to tell you. If we look at it in the flesh and we recall, because there's hard things. There is hard things to die out to. Brother Carl actually said this one time and I caught a hold of it. He said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me as a lie if I ever heard one. Because words do hurt. But it's still part of a cross. It's part of a cross that you and I need to bear. And when we do, I feel that we show the Lord the best that we can show him, because it's who he was and he's brought into our lives and what we can do. I have a burden, and I think you do too. I'd like to see all the souls saved that can be saved. Jesus said of himself, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it falls, in the whole process, think of it, a corn of wheat, or a kernel. Think that kernel of corn. It first has got to fall, doesn't it? It's got to fall. It falls to the ground. It goes low. It falls. It goes and then it loses its identity. In corruption, it goes, but unless it falls, it abides alone. One kernel will always be one kernel. You can take it, put it on the shelf, do whatever you want, but it'll always be one kernel. But if it falls to the lowest place and dies, and then it starts bringing forth things. And it is the dying of ourselves. The Lord said it of himself, and the analogy is true to his followers. To bring people into the kingdom, our best tool is the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was talking about him being lifted up, but the analogy goes farther. When we lift up Christ in our lives, follow the examples and the patterns that he give us of self-denial. Brother Salmon said something years ago talking about religion. He said men can do all manner of things in religious rite or in religious ceremony or in religious duty. They go the world over. There has been people that have entombed themselves into cells to deny the flesh. There have people made rules of no marriage to try to deny a natural desire in people. There is all kind of things that done that. But Brother Salmon said there is one thing that though he sits in a jail entombed by himself for whatever he's done to try to do it, one thing that he'll never do is deny himself. It sounds self-denial, but underneath he never really denies himself. Take up your cross and follow me. To be able to be willing to go all the way with the Lord. And I heard something recently that kind of stirred me. And I have to question it. That there's a lot of people that just don't quite want to go all the way. And when I heard that, I said, truth. Truth. One of our biggest drawbacks is that we don't quite want to go all the way. I don't quite want to be that vulnerable. Now, I had people say to me, now, Brother Marty, you shouldn't have let that feller done that to you. Okay. If I'd done it wrong, I'd done it wrong on the side of caution for the Lord. I'd done what the Lord taught my soul to do. And I still pray for him. But I want to say this. Take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. And I want to say this too, because we've repeated this theme over and over. That when you claim the name of Jesus, we have every right to see your cross. Amen. And you dying on it. We have every right that when the circumstances of life come, we have every right to see you as someone that claims the name of Christ. We have the right to expect you to be on your cross. You have the right to see me. I name the name of Jesus. I'm saved and following the Lord. And you have the right to expect Brother Marty when the hard times come. And when I need to, you have the right to say he should be on his cross. Because it follows. It accompanies salvation. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.
Oh,
yes.
Turn to page
300
and read
the last 2 verses of that song. 300. All right, number 300. It's a land of Beulah, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear. For I have found a great salvation makes each burden light appear. And I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross, worldly honors all forsaking for the glory of the cross. Oh, the cross has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved it to be true. When I am in the way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross, thou need not fear, for I have tried the way before thee, and the glory lingers near. That is the glory that he brought on the cross, and it is the end of it. And when we recall, and when we look, and we go back at that, what we really do is we really never get to see the glory that lingers near. We never get to experience the deliverance. We never get to really see the value of it and what it really does. All to be able to deny myself and see when I lay it down, God pick it up. When I'm weak, He's strong. When I don't take the part, He steps in and does it. And He works in a glorious and wondrous way with it. I have a cross. You have a cross. We all have crosses unique to us. Have you ever said, why am I like I am? Why am I made the way I am? Oh, embrace the cross. It's your opportunity. My brother one time told me, he was saved at the time, and he had a wife that wasn't. And it was difficult. And I told him, I have no way of knowing what you're going through. I don't have an unsaved wife. But I said, I do know this. This is your opportunity to show that God has grace. I can't do it. But this is your place to serve God and show God faithful, to show Him big enough to meet the circumstance, to show that there's glory in it, to show that He can have glory in your soul right there, to show the world, because a lot of the world's in that situation. The good place to be in to say, yes, it's my cross, but the Lord's in it. The Lord brings glory to it. Oh, Lord, help us today to embrace it. Don't come up shy of it. I believe it's true. I believe that there is so many that comes up short of all the way, just not quite willing to say, I'm that vulnerable. I won't be done that way, or I won't go that far. I won't submit myself into that kind of faith, or whatever it is that comes just short of so much glory of God. Amen.